Good morning to one and all. Today is our combined Christmas service, and the subject of this morning's message is the good news of great joy. As we are very aware, the things of the world offers us no joy at all. Possessions that we have, power that we crave for, popularity from popularity to be gained from others, or to get attention from others, the pleasures that we want or we enjoy, and all kinds of physical gratification cannot provide any lasting or true happiness or joy. It leaves the things of this world leave us a sense of emptiness, despite the initial excitement in having them. At first, but in the end, we find it very empty. And if you were to surf the net, we can see that many rich and famous in this world have taken their own lives. And where can we find joy amidst all these evils of this world, the things of this world that is temporal and could not give us any joy? And we know that the answer is only found in Jesus. The joy, not just joy, but the great joy is only found in Jesus, who is all-sufficient for us, who gives us meaning, purpose, hope in this life. And therefore, we could see how the angel proclaimed to the shepherds that it is a good news of great joy. The word great in the original language means mega. It is exceeding joy. And therefore, as Luke wrote to this Theophilus meaning a friend of God, around AD 60, during the time when the Apostle Paul was transferred to Roman prison, he wrote to this Roman friend. And Luke, who is a Gentile, a Greek, a fiscal, a physician, he wrote to Theophilus. And Theophilus was his friend and his pupil in the Lord. And we know that it is a person, even though scholars have debated that Theophilus means a group of people who are lovers of God or friends of God. But the fact that he called him Most Excellent, a title that was given to a high-ranking official. And if you turn to the book of Acts, where Paul, the Apostle Paul, wrote to Felix and Festus, he wrote to them with the same Greek word as Most Excellent or Most Noble. And this you can find in Acts 23 and Acts 26. So Luke's intention was that Theophilus, his good friend and pupil, might know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. So these words, certainty of those things, is the gospel, the good news of salvation, how man can be saved from their sin. And it was written carefully, as Luke 1 verse 3 said, and it is therefore true and trustworthy for Theophilus to receive this gospel, and it is true and trustworthy for us as we listen to the gospel, as we read the gospel of Luke itself. And not just the gospel is not just found in Luke, but it's also found in three other books of the Bible, and that is Matthew, Mark, and John. So more than 2,000 years ago, in the fullness of time, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And this is a mystery of God's work, God's providence, God's sovereign plan and will to give us Jesus, whose name means Jehovah saves, or God saves. And he was born of Mary, a virgin, in Bethlehem. And Bethlehem is called the city of David. And so Jesus humbled himself and in his humiliation left heaven's glory, came into time and space from eternity to become man and live with man. He is fully man and yet fully God. He did not divest or remove his deity. So his birth came with this glorious announcement by this angel, and we do not know the angel's name. Most probably could be Gabriel, which means God is mighty. And he appeared before the lowly shepherds in the field near Bethlehem. And after this angel's announcement, it is followed by a host or an army of angels from heaven praising God, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, goodwill toward man. And that is the essence of the gospel, how the outcome of the gospel, that there will be peace, peace with God on earth, and peace that will come when Christ will come again, and there will be goodwill toward man, God's favor and kindness towards man. And this Jesus will no more become or will not always be a baby. He will live and grow to be an adult. He will live a righteous life, and he would one day be willing or has willed himself to shed his precious blood on the cross. He died, and on the third day, proving that he is God, he rose from the dead, and he sealed our salvation if we put our trust in him. And because Jesus lives today, we are able to live also. We will never perish for whosoever believed in him. And this is the good news of great joy he wants you to hear this morning. And this good news of great joy is to you, as what Luke 2 verse 10 says. If you look at Luke 2, it says, "And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. And verse 11, For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." So notice these phrases, "which shall be to all people." And in verse 11, "unto you," it's not just to the shepherds, but it's to a wider extent, to all people, to the Jews, and later on to the Gentiles. And therefore, no one can excuse themselves that the gospel is not offered to them. It is their unbelief that have caused them their own grief and their own misery to reject the Lord Jesus Christ. So it is the good news, and by his grace alone, we, the undeserving sinners, wretched sinners as we are, full of sin, was given this unmerited favor of God to be saved by him. And Jesus paid this penalty for our sins, as what we have heard from Deacon Joshua, the just from the unjust, the just for the unjust, as recorded in God's word, and that he redeemed us by his precious blood. And so it is an amazement, it is a marvel that we sinners could receive this gift of salvation, this gift of being saved from our sins, this gift of eternal life. And Romans 5, 7 to 8, which we have just read from the responsive reading, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. is not in that while we were righteous, we were good people, Christ died for us, but while we were yet sinners. We thank God that God commended His love. He gave His love to us by giving us His only begotten Son. And what is this? And what great joy it is that God, who gave His Son to help us, to save us from our sins. As what Elder Peter Coy, our elder who wrote an article last Sunday in the Weekly, he is in the legal profession, and he wrote this in the church bulletin. I quote him, says, "No criminal justice system in any country of this world allows a person to take over the punishment of another person for a crime. No criminal justice system in any country of this world allows a person to take over the punishment of another person for a crime." But what did Jesus do? We are all sinners, offended God. Do we lie? Have we lied before? I believe all of us here would say, yes, we lied. Therefore, we are liars. We are liars before God. Do we cheat? Yes, we have cheated before in small things and in big things. Do we hate? And that if we hate from our in our hearts, if there's hatred in our hearts, we are committing murder, we are murderers. And do we worship other things beside God? Yes, we are idolaters. So we have offended God, and we deserve death, but yet God gave His only begotten Son to take over the punishment of our sin. And that is the good news of great joy. And therefore He gave us this tremendous assurance of hope and joy in Him, because God the Father is forever satisfied with the payment of Christ on the cross. Jesus paid our sin debt in full. He paid it all when He cried out on the cross, "It is finished." And in the original language, it's just one word, tetelestai. And this word is written on ancient receipts or debts, which means paid in full. It's not in installments, but it's paid in full. So we can add nothing to the finished work of the cross. And therefore, Jesus rose again. He ascended to heaven, and He's praying for us as our great high priest, and He's going to bring us back to heaven. And this is the great joy in this assurance that we have no more condemnation before God. We have this gift of eternal life. And if today you may be the second generation Christian, a third generation Christian, or a fourth generation Christian, you may not have that testimony like the Apostle Paul, how he met God on the road to Damascus, how there was a great conversion turning point for you. But your testimony is that God came to save you from your sin. God loves you, to die on the cross for you, and on the third day He rose again for you, and He will come again for you to bring you into His presence. And that this testimony is good enough as what He has proclaimed in God's word, as what you have believed with all your heart. This testimony for you is good enough for you to have that blessed assurance of your salvation. And so you may say, the good news is indeed to me, and the good news is for me. And you may wonder, because you may in your heart say, but I'm a nobody, I'm a sinner, I don't deserve God's love. And that is what many would have said. I am just a sinner. How can I deserve God's love so simply? By believing in Jesus. But I want you to observe that, first of all, the people that God reached out to were the shepherds. The angel was sent by God, not to the highest echelon of society, but to the shepherds who were guarding their flock. They were considered outcast, ceremonially unclean, due to the nature of their work, their shepherding work. They were in contact with sheep, and as you know, sheep have their waste, they have their excrement, their manures are all over the place, and you cannot avoid stepping them as you shepherd them, as you step on them, and they have their cuts and scrapes and blood oozing from their body, and the shepherd has to attend to their cuts and all the blood that is oozing up from their body, and they have insects buzzing around the sheep, and the shepherds need to remove all these insects, and they are there to protect the sheep from wild animals, and there's killing of wild animals, the predators. They are touching carcasses and blood and so forth. So they were ceremonially unclean. They were treated as outsiders. But the angel of God, sent by God Himself, announced the birth of Christ to them. And this is how God regards us, that He is no respecter of persons. We are invited to the presence of the Savior, no matter who we are, whether we are somebody or nobody. God says, I bring you good tidings of great joy, unto you is born this day. And remember, when Jesus in His earthly ministry, whom did He eat with? He ate with the publicans, or the tax collectors, who are despised by the people, by the Jews, and even sinners. So do not say in your heart today and say, I'm a nobody, I'm a great sinner, God is not interested in me. Maybe He's interested in those who are doing good, who are rich, who are affluent. Would God ever have time for me to take an interest in me? The answer is yes, God is interested in you because you are made in His image. Even in your mother's womb, you are fearfully and wonderfully made by Him. And God's love reaches to each and every one of us. And He knows our wrongs. Every wrong that we did against Him, every sin we offended Him, He knows. But as you come today, He wants your heart. He wants you to have this great joy of salvation, this good news and the assurance of eternal life that you have in Him. So let us ask ourselves, do I then, if He's interested in me, be interested in Him, that I may receive this good news of great joy and to believe in Him? But if today, as believers, you have believed in Christ for many years, joy has left you, and you may have come, you have not come and attended church for all these months, and only Christmas you come, and you have backslidden because you are stumbled, because you are discouraged and fearful of the uncertainties of life, God speaks to you today with that compassion as He spoke to the shepherds through the angel by telling them, fear not, fear not. So what a wonderful assurance to us today that we are not to fear. Even though we have backslidden, God is looking out for you, as in the parable of the prodigal son, how the father kept looking out for the son to come back. So He's waiting for you. Fear not. If you have backslidden, come back to Him. Start right with Him, not just and to wait for the new year to do so, but to do it today. And for those of us who are anxious, worried about the tomorrows, worried about our health, worried about the report, the medical report we are going to have for the review with the doctor, fear not. God has given us eternal life. God is our shepherd. God cares for us, and His mercies are great. And so this is a wonderful assurance to the shepherds and to us. And if you were to look at how the angel, even he approached Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist in Luke 1, and to Mary also in Luke 1:30, he gave the same words, fear not, fear not. And we thank God that God reminds us that we can be in His glorious presence always, each moment of our lives, for He is our Emmanuel. And so let us remember, if we have Jesus in our hearts, we have always this peace, for Jesus is the Prince of Peace. So this good news of great joy is to you. And the Lord wants you to know that the good news of great joy is that you must know Jesus. And verse 11 says, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Not many in this world know Jesus, or even if they know, they will not acknowledge Jesus to be the Son of God, to be the Savior, to be their Lord. And Christmas season will just come and go, and Christmas is celebrated with revelry, fun, with Santa Claus, but not Jesus. Many are missing the reason for this season. They refuse to acknowledge that they are in need of a Savior. But for us today, you know that Jesus is indeed the Savior, the Christ, and the Lord. And the angel told the shepherds who this newborn baby is in just these few words, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord, that they may know who He is. And so today we know that Jesus is indeed our Savior, and that means we are helpless and can never save ourselves. We cannot trust even ourselves to save ourselves. We are weak, we make mistakes, we are limited, we don't have the resources, and we don't even have the power to do many things. We need people to help us. And as we grow older, we are weaker each day. So how can we ever save ourselves? And how much good works must we do to outweigh the bad deeds that we do on earth to earn our salvation? We can never save ourselves. And therefore, today we must know that the great joy, the good news of great joy, is to know Jesus is our Savior. And remember, in the year 2020, there was this 61-year-old man whose boat sunk off Tioman Island, and he was adrift in the sea for 4 days. And he could not see anybody helping him. The helicopters just flew past him. He was totally helpless. He was in constant pain, and his skin was rotting, and crabs were crawling all over him, eating his rotted flesh. And he was finally found, spotted by a ship, and rescued. He could not save himself, but the ship came along and rescued him, and he survived the ordeal and lives today. So we can see that even though he was a seasoned fisherman, seasoned in the sea, he thought that he could wait for his friend to come to help him, to give him some resources to get the boat going, but the boat sank and he could not save himself. So no matter how hard he tried, he needs someone outside of him to save him. So likewise, for all of us, we know that we are so weak like this man, adrift in this sea of our lives, and we are in need of someone stronger, need of someone who has the power to rescue us. And he is none other than Jesus Christ. So in the midst of what you are going through in life, remember, go to Jesus, and he would heal you spiritually. Whatever burden and guilt you have weighing upon you for the past offenses against God that you have done, he is willing to forgive you. He is willing to wash you clean with the blood of Jesus. And whatever pain or shatteredness and sinfulness, Christ came to heal you. It says in Psalm 147, verse 3, he healed the broken in heart, bundled up their wounds, and that is who Jesus is. So you know, Japanese, they have this art of pottery called the kintsugi. The kintsugi is whereby the broken ceramic glass can be mended back with golden, melted gold. Right, with melted gold. And once the broken pieces are melted together or mended together with this melted gold, it became a very beautiful art. And it is very priceless. And that is how we are. We are like the kintsugi if we allow Jesus to hear us. If we allow Jesus to come into our hearts and to believe in him. And so he is our Savior today. And this good news of great joy will be to you if you were to know that he is your Savior. And he is Christ. And this word Christ is not the surname of Jesus. It's not his family name. The word Christ is the appointed one, the anointed one, and the Messiah, the deliverer. And so the birth of Jesus is therefore not a haphazard solution by God. From eternity, with the fall of man, God has promised Adam and Eve this Messiah will come in the Garden of Eden. And from then till when Jesus comes, there are lots of prophecies in the Old Testament that prophesy the coming, the first coming of Jesus. And Jesus came and fulfilled these prophecies. And you can see that in verse 11, it says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David." And that reminds us that of the covenant that God has not just given to Abraham, but also to David in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 12 to 16, that David's seed will reign forever on his throne. So this long-awaited deliverer is none other than Jesus himself. And therefore, we are encouraged in our hearts that indeed Jesus' promises are sure. God will never tell a lie to us. And so we can have this assurance as we read God's word, as we hear the gospel, as we receive the gospel, we know that God is indeed true. He wants me to be saved. And therefore, this good news is of great joy to me because I believe in the words of a true God, a true and living God, a true and living Savior. And he is Lord, as the angel told the shepherds. He is Lord, and people wish to remember Jesus today as just a helpless baby. They would like to us to remember that Jesus cannot fend for himself and needs someone stronger. But that is not true. Jesus today is Lord. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the only potentate, as what the Apostle Paul said in 1 Timothy 6:15. And therefore he is sovereign. And for us as believers, we don't make him Lord because Jesus is always Lord and he's always sovereign. So he's the Lord of all, and we must submit to his lordship, submit to his sovereignty over our lives. And therefore, when he's on the throne, he's able to have the power and able to secure our eternal destiny in heaven. And when he's always on the throne, despite the messiness of our lives, he's able to make good in his providence, arrange all things well for us, and all things will work together for good. And therefore, we can have this great encouragement and trust in him. So today, if you have not made Jesus your Lord, even as you have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ for a long time, do so today, because he deserves your obedience, he deserves your submission in love to him. So when we do that, we will see our lives being made straight by him, because we put him as our master, we put him as our Lord, we know that he is faithful, he will make all things well for him. Will you therefore yield to Jesus as your Lord today in obedience to his will? And so this angel gave this wonderful description of who Jesus is, the attributes of Jesus, who is a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this good news of salvation, good news of great joy, and therefore you must know Jesus today, and not to just push him aside or brush him aside in your life. And the third point is, the good news of great joy demands a response. And if you look at the angel's response in the birth of Jesus, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." This birth of Jesus, who is the Savior, Christ, the Lord, causes all the angels, armies of angels, to come down from heaven to give a great doxology, a glorious doxology of who God is. Glory to God in the highest, and of earth, and on earth, goodwill toward men. So this heavenly army was praising God and also blessing the people on earth, that there will be peace, goodwill toward men. And the angels' spontaneous response should be ours today, that we must always break into doxology to praise God. And there's a hymn that we always sing in worship, and that is, "Praise God from whom all blessings flow." We have been singing this hymn every Sunday, but we can see for ourselves that we don't sing it joyfully, like a doxology. It's more like a funeral hymn. "Praise God from whom all blessings flow." And when I was in the Lively Teens Fellowship, there's this Q&A, this teen asked, "Why after giving offerings and seeing the doxology, why everybody is so sad?" So I answered, "Because maybe they have to part their money." So, and of course this is not the case, but because it is always a routine that we fear to realize, when we sing the doxology, when we sing hymns, it is a spontaneous joy in us that wells up, bubbles up, and therefore from our lips we praise him. And do we do that not just on Sunday? Do we do that every day in our lives? Do we sing hymns or hum a hymn, a tune, even though you do not know the words? It will greatly help you. And I've encouraged those who were going national service. I told them, when you're doing your road march, when you're doing your sentry duties, guard duties, when you are feeling very bored, very down, always hum a hymn in your heart. And some of them did, and it did help them to be able to hum a hymn when they are most down in their training, when they thought that nobody cares, nobody will understand. But when they sung or hummed the hymn, their hearts were lifted up. So I pray that every one of us will always break into that doxology, because we have received the good news of great joy. And the second thing is that the shepherd's response. It says, "And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." So once the angels return to heaven, and it is wonderful, isn't it? The angels were from heaven when they give this doxology, and the source of the announcement, the praise, is from heaven, is divine. And that also tells us that heaven is real. The angels return to heaven. Heaven is a place for the angelic beings and for God. And so we are going to this place together with the angels one day. Isn't it wonderful? And therefore the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing." The thing here does not refer to Jesus, calling it a thing. But the thing in the original language means rhema, which means message or saying. And this same word is found in verse 17, where it is translated as saying and not thing. And so, see this thing or saying which is come to pass, which the Lord had made known unto us. And so they would go and see this Jesus, see this saying of the angel, that it would be, whether it would be true. And they acknowledge with faith that it is from the Lord. It says, which the Lord had made known unto us, in verse 11. So the Lord has spoken, they believe without hesitation, and with the spectacular appearance of the angels in the sky, they rush to Bethlehem. And they believe that God will not lie, they will be given the sign. And this sign is that the baby will be in the feeding trough, in the manger. And usually in those times, babies would sleep on the bed of the parents, where the parents lie. They don't have a baby cot, but they would sleep in the bed, on the bed of the parents. But this sign is that it will be on the feeding trough of the animals. So what does this tell us of God and His Word? That God's Word is true and His promises will come to pass. That indeed He is the Savior, the Christ, our Lord. So the shepherds, you can see their response, "Let us go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing." You can see the two verbs, go and see. And that is very important for us, that we must go and see, as what the disciples of John the Baptist did, whereby if you were to look at the slide, it says in verse 39 of John chapter 1, "He saith unto them, Come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour." So these words, go and see, and now the disciple Jesus told the disciples of John the Baptist, come and see, how important it is for us to take that initiative to go and see. We mustn't procrastinate, we mustn't delay to go and see who this Jesus is. And what was the response? "And when they had seen, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child." And here we can see that they not just keep it to themselves. They made known abroad. The words made known abroad means they gave an accurate report, an exact report of what they have seen and heard to the people that they met. And therefore, the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, and it was told unto them. So they became God's instruments of peace to bring the gospel to the rest of the people. And that's what God did. He doesn't need the angels anymore. He used the shepherds, the humble shepherds, to bring the gospel to others. So today, we must respond like the shepherds, that we may share the gospel with others. Everybody ought to know the gospel, and God is going to use us if we are willing to be used by Him. Perhaps you have one friend of yours or loved ones that you have been praying for, and you dare not tell him or her the gospel. Why don't you just pass him or her a tract? There are many tracts outside, and strike when the iron is hot, especially during this Christmas time, because it will not seem as a random thing, because it's Christmas. You give him a tract or her a tract, or you text him a gospel, a short note on the gospel, that they may know Christ. You may not know how the Holy Spirit will work in the heart, because someone may have sowed the gospel seed in him or her long time ago, and God may use you to reap that harvest. So do that today, not just pray, but to share the gospel with others. And so therefore, we can see how the angel responded, how the shepherds responded, and now we see how Mary responded. And she pondered in her heart. And you can see, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. She was not in a state of unbelief, but she was in a state of deep reflection of the happenings that she was experiencing. The virgin birth, her virgin birth, her experience with the shepherds confirmed what she already knew about the significance of her newborn son, and how the angel Gabriel had promised her that this son would be the promised Messiah, the Son of the Most High God. And in her Magnificat, or her song in Luke chapter 1, 46 to 55, she already acknowledged that she was a handmaiden of the Lord, an instrument of the Lord. And she confessed that this baby in her womb is her Savior, meaning that she is helpless, she is a sinner, she needs this Savior. So as she reflected, her faith ran deep and strong, and she kept these things in her heart, all this reflection in her heart, gracefully awaiting the fulfillment. So it was beyond her natural comprehension, but she treasured them. And so today, as we are in this Christmas season, we are very busy clearing our backlog for the new year. We are busy buying gifts for others. We are busy making appointments with others, catching up with friends for coffee or for fellowship. We have activities in the church. And in our busyness, we must step back and find a quiet place to reflect. Why this Christmas? Why this Christmas? Why Jesus? Why am I saved? Why am I in this church? Why did my relatives, my family members invite me to this church to hear this gospel? You have to reflect deeply, and to see that indeed God has given us, or wants to give us, this good news of great joy to be in our heart. So as we commemorate the birth of Jesus, his first advent to the world, I urge you to reflect who this Jesus is and to marvel and to wonder at this good news. And therefore, as we celebrate this Christmas, may this good news of great joy be in you, and to know that it is given to you, if given to you. So the Lord wants us to turn away from our sin, to dedicate our lives to Him, to surrender our lives to Him, and may this great joy reside in you always, knowing that our God does not lie. The gospel is indeed the good news of salvation. He gives us the eternal life, the assurance, the hope for us to live each day of our lives. So may you remember that this good tidings, good news of great joy, is for each and every one of us. May the Lord help us. Let's pray. Our Lord, our God, we give you thanks for this time whereby we can come before your presence to celebrate Christmas. And we know that Jesus is no more a child, a baby. He has grown up to be an adult, to live a righteous life for us, and to die on the cross for our sins. And he rose again from the dead, and he ascended to heaven after 40 days, and he is in heaven as our great high priest, and he loves us, and he will come again, and he will receive us back to heaven one day. So thank you, Lord, for this hope and this joy in you, and thank you that it is a great joy that we have believed in you, and that you loved us because of your mercies and of your grace. So help us, Lord, to love you in return, to believe in you, and for those who have not believed, they may receive this great good news of great joy in their hearts today. All this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us sing our closing hymn by singing the familiar Christmas hymn, O Holy.